Good evening. Welcome to the Minnesota OA Hal Live meeting. My name is Lewis from Maryland. I'm a compulsive eater and your leader for this meeting.
Hey, Lewis.
Hi, Lewis. Welcome.
Thank you. This is a meeting conceived to bring an added dimension of realism to our remote OA community. Our goal is to share the power of recovery via a meeting that is safe and by its nature very visual. We want to welcome all those attending. You may reference our attendee guide for detailed instructions and information. If you would like to participate in the meeting, either by video or by phone, before the meeting begins, please use the Sign Up Genius link called Volunteer to Participate Virtually on our website, mnhowlive.org. On the same webpage, you will find a link to our meetings, readings, and tools. If you have not signed up, you may volunteer to take a reading or tool via our meetings live chat. Only two our OA House sponsors share on the tools. If you need technical help, you can register for a coaching session on Monday or Tuesday evenings via our Sign Up Genius form. If you are unable to make this time, please send a note to mnhowlive@gmail.com. The audio portion of this meeting is being recorded. Please visit our website at mnhowlive.org to download the files. To open the meeting, let us have a moment of quiet meditation, and for those who wish to join us, God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can,
and the wisdom
to know the difference.
Thy will, God, not mine, be done.
Amen.
Amen.
I assume that I'm not alone this evening, but for the record, are there any other compulsive eaters at this meeting other than myself?
I am.
Yes.
Yes, over here.
Yes, over here. Hey, we're here.
Please use the meeting's chat function as a virtual We Care book and enter your first name, phone number, times available for phone calls, and whether or not you are currently a sponsor in the HAL format. We'll then a book that is being circulated in the room. A copy of this list can be sent to you via email after the meeting. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through a shared experience, strength, and mutual support, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and carry this message of recovery to all those who suffer. Would someone please read What is HAL?
Good evening, everyone. This is Karen. I'm a compulsive reader. How are you?
Hi, Karen.
Hi, Karen. Welcome.
Hi. I just moved it from one spot to another, so I have to go find it, the reading. One second. What is HAL? HAL is a movement within Overeaters Anonymous whose basic principle is that abstinence is the only means to freedom from compulsive overeating and the beginning of a spiritual life. Where and why did HAL begin? HAL began in Phoenix in 1981 as a means of reviving a group called OA Victorious. Its meeting format is taken from Roseanne's book, I Put My Hand in Yours, and centers around the concept of service. Many of the questions used in HAL sponsoring stem from OA Plus and Westminster groups. The outline of service came from the OA Suffolk County, New York Sponsors Guide. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Karen.
Would someone please read the only requirement.
Hi, this is Nancy, compulsive overeater. The only
Nancy,
requirement.
Welcome. Welcome.
Thank you. The only requirement. Overeaters Anonymous respect the autonomy of each OA group. We do suggest, however, that any group that has requirements, in addition to the suggested 12 steps and 12 traditions, inform its members that these requirements are what that particular group has found effective in working the program and do not represent OA as a whole. The members of this group have found the how concept to be effective in working the OA program. The opinions expressed here this afternoon by those who share are their own and not necessarily those of OA. The Board of Trustees states, quote, we understand the third tradition to mean that individual ways of working one's program should not exclude any compulsive overeater from attendance and participation at OA meetings anywhere, anytime, close quote. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Anyone who says he or she is a member is a member. We of Overeaters Anonymous welcome all members with open arms, and I pass.
Thank you, Nancy.
Thanks, Nancy.
You're welcome.
Would someone please read the how concept?
Hi there. I think I'm going to have to read that guy. I'm Jane, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Jane.
Jane, welcome.
Thanks. Okay. The how concept. The Overeaters Anonymous how meetings have been formed to offer the compulsive eater who accepts the 12 steps and 12 traditions as a program of recovery a disciplined and structured approach. How groups are formed in the belief that our disease is absolute and that only absolute acceptance of the OA program will offer any sustained abstinence to those of us whose compulsion has reached a critical level. Therefore, we accept the 9 tools of program and the 12 steps and the 12 traditions as necessary for our recovery. In OA How, our daily action plan is outlined in the structured use of each of the other tools. Our meetings are dedicated to the concept of remaining honest, open-minded, and willing to listen. This is the how of the program. We pray that the collective group conscience and love that these ideals offer us will promote a strong sense of security that will enable us to experience a new unity and wholeness with all those around us, and that the how ideals will help us to progress in our program of recovery on a daily basis. To be certain, much of our strength is found in the structure of meetings and in the daily adherence to the program, as it is written in our literature. The Tuesday evening meeting also firmly understands that after our recovery has begun through abstinence and the taking of the first 3 steps, our further surrender to the additional steps of recovery offers us a promise of happiness, contentment, and achievement in all areas of our lives. We ensure our continued and sustained abstinence from compulsive overeating by being forever aware that God is doing for us what we have never been able to do for ourselves. May God, as each of us understands him, open our minds and hearts to the love which is manifested on this meeting. Amen. And just before I go, I want to put in a pitch for service. We have lots of tools that need readers, so feel free to message me about which one, and I'll sign you up. Thanks.
Thanks, Jane.
Thanks, Jane.
Would someone please read reflections for the newcomer?
That would be me. Hi, I'm Jody, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Jody.
Hi, Jody. Welcome.
Thank you. Reflections for the newcomer. Welcome to OA How. We are all so glad that you have decided to become a part of our fellowship. You know that the HOW concept is a discipline program. We believe that the discipline of weighing and measuring, of telephoning your sponsor at a particular time, of attending meetings and making phone calls, all lead to a life based on the universal discipline, which is accord rather than discord, even with many things going on around us. Therefore, if there's a breakdown in any of these areas, the concept is threatened, as is the individual's abstinence. We have found the discipline must remain as constant for the beginner as for the sponsor. If the newcomer shies away from this life's responsibility, the sponsor may give the newcomer's time slot to someone more committed to recovery. This is not a personal affront, but a matter of necessity. So many who think they should recover, in fact, are not ready. If the newcomer should show lack of commitment, the sponsor may then offer the newcomer assistance in finding a new sponsor. The rationale here is, if the newcomer insists on picking up the food before the phone, then there's a breakdown in the level of communication between the sponsor and the newcomer. Frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. Doctor's opinion, big book, Roman numeral 26, paragraph 2. If a sponsor slips, get a new one. The pitfalls of self-deception cannot be overstressed if you are to recover. Therefore, a sponsor in all self-honesty must release all sponsees to continue his own recovery. A sponsor cannot give what he does not experience. Finally, we must believe that we need each other. All problems that arise can be worked on via the phone or person-to-person contact. Only positive, upbeat recovery belongs at our meetings. A body badly burned by alcohol does not recover overnight, nor do twisted thinking and depression vanish in a twinkling. We are convinced that a spiritual mode of living is a most powerful restorative. The family afterward, big book, page 133, paragraph 2. Good luck. Everyone in the fellowship is praying that you find the release from the obsession so many of us have. God bless, and no matter what, keep coming back. We'll always be here for you.
Thank you, Jody.
Thanks, Jody.
Would someone please read from chapter 5 of the book Alcoholics Anonymous, How It Works? Can anyone read how it works?
Okay, yes.
Go ahead, Patrick.
I've got number 5, Howard. I've got excerpt from step 2.
Yeah, I think Lewis, is that where, which one are we on? Have you done that yet, Patrick?
No.
Okay, so why don't we read the excerpt of step 2 from the OA 12 and 12. I apologize.
Okay. Reading number 5. Excerpt from step 2 of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous, pages 9 to 11, starting at paragraph 2. When we look at with complete honesty at our lives, we see that where eating is concerned, we have acted in an extremely irrational and self-destructive manner. Under the compulsion to overeat, many of us have done things no sane person would think of doing. We have driven miles in the dead of night to satisfy a craving for food. We have eaten food that was frozen, burnt, stale, or even dangerously spoiled. We have eaten food off other people's plates, off the floor, off the ground. We have dug food out of the garbage and eaten it. We have frequently lied about what we have eaten, lied to others because we didn't want to face the truth ourselves. We have stolen food from our friends, family, and employers, as well as from the grocery store. We have also stolen money to buy food. We have eaten beyond the point of being full, beyond the point of being sick of eating. We've continued to overeat, knowing all the while we were disfiguring and maiming our bodies. We have isolated ourselves to eat, damaging our relationships and denying ourselves a full social life. For the sake of our compulsive eating, we have turned ourselves into objects of ridicule and we have destroyed our health. Then, horrified by what we were doing to ourselves with food, we became obsessed with diets. We spent hundreds of dollars on weight loss schemes. We bought all sorts of appetite control drugs. We joined diet clubs and spas. We had ourselves hypnotized and analyzed. We had major surgery on our digestive systems. We had our ears stapled or our jaws wired shut. All of this we did willingly, hoping we could someday have our cake and eat it too. Some of us went from doctor to doctor looking for a cure. The doctors gave us diets, but we had no better success with those than the other diets we'd been on. The doctors gave us shots and pills. Those worked for a while, but we inevitably lost control and overate again, putting back on the weight we had worked so hard to lose. Many of us tried fasting with and without a doctor's supervision. Usually we lost weight, but as soon as we started eating again, the compulsive eating behavior returned along with the weight. Some of us learned to purge ourselves with vomiting, laxatives, or excessive exercise. We'd stuff food in our mouths until we were in physical pain, then we'd get rid of it. We damaged our digestive systems and our teeth while we starved our bodies of nutrients needed to live. Those of us who were overweight got plenty of advice from others about how to get to our ideal size, but nothing permanently solved our problem. We found that no matter what we did to ease our turmoil, our compulsive eating eventually returned. Over the long haul, our weight went up and our self-esteem went down. After a while, we became battle-weary and discouraged. Still, we could never accept our powerlessness. The prospect of being obese, sick, and out of control for the rest of our lives led some of us to conclude that life was simply not worth living. Many of us thought about suicide. Some of us tried it. Most of us, however, never reached suicidal desperation. Instead, we took comfort in a feeling that everything was all right as long as we got enough to eat. The only trouble was that as our compulsive eating progressed, it became harder for us to get enough. Instead of bringing comfort, the overeating backfired. The more we ate, the more we suffered, yet we continued to overeat. Our true insanity could be seen in the fact that we kept right on trying to find comfort in excess food long after it began to cause us misery.
Thanks, Patrick.
Thank you, Patrick. Would someone please read from chapter 5 of the book, Alcoholics Anonymous, How It Works?
Good evening, everyone. My name is Kadada, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Kadada.
Hi, Kadada. Welcome.
Thank you. How it works. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves, they are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we were like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these, we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the results was nil until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery.
Thank you, Kadada.
Thanks, Kadada.
Would someone please read the 12 steps of recovery?
Hello, everyone. I'm Nancy D, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Nancy. Welcome.
Hello, thank you. Hello, everyone. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and practice these principles in all our affairs. Many of us exclaimed, "What an order! I can't go through with it." Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down as guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. Big Book, Chapter 5, page 60. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. Would someone please read the 12 traditions of the program?
Hi, this is Maggie. I signed up for this.
Hi, Maggie.
Hi, Maggie, compulsive eater in Toronto. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Number two, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Less problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Permission to use these traditions is granted by AA World Services Incorporated. Thanks.
Thank you, Maggie. The tools of recovery. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous are a program of recovery. Webster's Dictionary defines tool as any person or thing used to get something done. We have many tools of the program which help us to recover on a daily basis. Tools are essential to get the job done, and they work for us. In order for a tool to work, it must be used.
Wow.
What? You mean I have to use them?
Huh.
So too with our tools of recovery. I will ask that house sponsors explain how they use a particular tool with a limit of 3 minutes for each tool. Would someone please be willing to be the timekeeper?
This is Tamara. I will be the timekeeper if no one has signed up.
I think Ruth has signed up.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Ruth, you there?
She's there. Yeah, go ahead, Lewis.
She's there. Okay. Would someone please be participants receiving timing prompts receive timing prompts via chat. Abstinence plan of eating. First tool.
Hi there. I'm a compulsive overeater and food addict recovering by the grace of God, the power of this program. I'm Revy Tell.
Hi, Revy Tell.
Hi, Revy Tell.
Hey, I quickly signed up for this and I'm just looking up the readings here. Here we go. Plan of eating. A food plan is a commitment to recovery. The HOW disciplines were designed for food addicted people. We believe in a disciplined and structured approach. HOW abstainers do not modify their food plan to suit themselves and commit themselves to black and white abstinence. Deviations invite the return of many other problems. A food plan is not a personal thing in HOW. This means that we depend upon each other for the strength and growth that we need to remain abstinent. We join together in an effort to free the compulsive overeater from the bondage of food through the use of a food plan, positive thinking, and the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. We eat weighed and measured meals with nothing in between except sugar-free beverages and sugar-free gum. Food is written down, called into our sponsor, and committed so that we can get on with our recovery and out of the food. We also believe that negative thinking is a large part of our disease, so we abstain from negative thinking. And those of us who work the HOW program concepts use the following guidelines for food plans. One, we do not write our own food plan. We use a food plan given to us by a doctor, nutritionist, or dietitian. We discuss it with our sponsor. We do not pick one that allows any of our binge foods. If some food on our plan becomes a problem, we avoid it. Two, unless approved by a sponsor, we do not skip meals, switch meals, or combine meals. We do not deviate or manipulate our food plan in any way. If we need to change our committed food during the day, we call a sponsor. Three, we weigh and measure our portions so that there is no guesswork. We do not measure by eye. We use a measuring cup, spoon, and scale. And it says here, verbally describe what you do with your abstinence kit, scale, cups, spoons, and telephone. Okay, so I'm just gonna really quickly show my scales. In my case, I use digital scales. I love precision. I wanna know to the decimal point, and it's helpful. In fact, I'm taught to weigh and measure my food to the decimal point. So if I need a cup of something, it'll be, I guess 6 ounces US, but 8 ounces Canadian. I will literally use this cute little, what I call my marijuana scale. I don't use marijuana, but it's this awesome little mini scale that slips into my purse when I go out for meals or weddings or what have you, or even at home on my countertop, it slips into my kitchen drawer, no problem. Another one is this one. If anyone's interested in the brand name, please don't hesitate to contact me. This looks familiar to many of you, I imagine. Where I press the button, I put it down like a trivet on my on the countertop in my kitchen, and I place the plate on, press the tear button to reach a zero start point and measure out whatever it is that needs to be plated. I press the tear button again to zero out the net weight and add on the other portion of whatever it is that I build my meal from that's been planned for the day. Another one is this lovely wand. Again, I used to carry these with me, take them out of my purse, slip them under, almost like a trivet, underneath my plate, zero it out, measure out whatever portion of food, the rice, and then zero it out, and then the beans, and then zero it out, et cetera, et cetera. And bit by bit, I would measure this according to the planned menu or the planned meal for the day. There are times when I need to use a measuring cup. So I'll take the straight edge of any sort of kitchen tool. In this case, I have a butter knife. I'll fill up the cup. Either I press it in all the time and then level it out, or I fluff it, but I don't fiddle with that technique. I choose one technique, and for me, it's fluffing. I just pick up whatever I need to, level it off, and that's my true, honest measurement if I need to use a measuring cup or measuring spoon. So what I do is, let me continue on here. We weigh ourselves. Oh, I guess I should continue explaining here. So I have a food plan that's been prepared for me by a dietitian who specializes in food addiction treatment, which is a wonderful, she's a wonderful ally in my team of supporters, and she offers reinforcements that are critical for me. Anyway, we've recently tweaked the food plan a little bit because I'm a bit less active as a result of the world experience that's happening around us. I'm more so at home and less so at the swimming pool. And so we noticed the waistband is tightening up. And so we removed a couple of food types, and I'm actually not missing them and feel much more comfortable in this slightly more passive lifestyle. But left to my own devices, I would have gone in all kinds of directions. So I really, truly trust the professionals who support my food plan. And I just want to give perspective. I actually have a degree in nutrition and can create my own food plan. I would never dare. I would never dare meddle personally in my food plan. I'm just not trustworthy that way because I have this disease, this uneasiness. Anyhow, so that's how I weigh and measure, and I have my plan of action. We weigh ourselves once a month until we reach goal weight, and once a week on maintenance, and that's happening right now as well. Unless otherwise advised otherwise by your doctor, we take a multivitamin and drink 64 ounces of water a day. We do not drink alcohol. We do use foods containing sugar, except if sugar is listed, except if sugar is listed fifth or beyond on the ingredient label. And above all, we do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It is not the extra string bean that counts. It's the decision to take it. And so generally speaking, what I say is the food plan for me is a precious, precious, invaluable tool because it protects my body from what my mind wants to do when the emotions show up. Because in classic step one fashion, I become powerlessly attracted to dangerous food and eating behaviors when life is unmanageable. And somewhere in between the action and the unmanageability are thoughts that lead to a desire. My brain lets me know, remember how nice that would feel? Let me give you some SOS pictorial message of what would be nice right about now. And the addict in me will forget all of the suffering amidst the current suffering, and cunning and baffling tells me that it's subconscious and preconscious. I don't even know that I'm suffering sometimes, but I will, if I pause and do a 4-hour recall and say, oh yeah, that lady at the supermarket really did bug me. And it's not the lady, it's my father when I was 3 and now the monster has a different face in a different place. And I don't even know why. Sometimes I just have food thoughts that lead to a desire that if succumbed to could lead to the cravings, and the cravings are the endless abyss of hell for me. And so if thoughts which lead to desires show up, if I can catch that, the detour out of that cycle is inventory, the steps, the process, the program, sponsorship, support, reinforcement. So the food plan placed accordingly, supported by professionals, for me, is yet another reinforcement that protects my body. No matter what happens, I get the same doses, no matter what my mind wants to do. And it's always satisfying. Actually, I'm going to say not every meal is a 10. So most of the times it's satisfying. Doesn't feel like a diet at all in any way, shape, or form. And so for this nutritionist, it certainly is a refreshing approach to something that I didn't realize prior to OA HOW. Very, very grateful for the food plan. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Ravital. The next tool is sponsorship.
Hi, everyone. I'm Kelly. I'm a compulsive overeater from outside of Philadelphia.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Kelly.
Okay. Sponsorship. Sponsors are OA members who are committed to abstinence and to living the 12 steps and 12 traditions to the best of their ability. We ask a sponsor to guide us through our program of recovery on all three levels, physical, emotional, and spiritual. In working with other members of OA and sharing their experience, strength, and hope, sponsors continually renew and reaffirm their own sobriety. Sponsors share their program up to the level of their own experience. Ours is a program of attraction, Find a sponsor who has what you want and ask how it was achieved. A member may work with more than one sponsor and may change sponsors at will. A house sponsor is a compulsive overeater who has completed at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence and who has taken the first three steps of the program. Sponsors have also completed at least 70 days of assignments. Reflections to the sponsor, suggestions for discussion. No list of reflections and meditations are end-all be-alls for the newcomer. A sponsor must be attentive to not only what the new person is saying, but what the newcomer is not saying. There are many newcomers who are reticent to purchase books and who are hesitant to throw themselves headlong into the program. Therefore, we have a list of pre-commitment assignments. Above all, do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It is not the extra string bean that is the problem. It is the decision to have it that results in trouble. The HOW concept is an alternative for people who have tried everything else. Therefore, the program is an immutable triumvirate of tools, steps, and traditions. Using the tools of weighing and measuring our food, sponsors, meetings, phone calls, reading and writing, service, and anonymity, we follow the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of OA in order to free ourselves from the bondage of food addiction. Sponsors do not have the right to play God. We help each other. A couple of things that stood out to me as I was reading this. The first is we sponsor up to the level of our experience. And what that means to me is I always have something to give. I came into OA with such low self-esteem. I thought, I will never be able to help anybody. I'm such a mess. Nobody wants to hear what I have to say, blah, blah, blah. And what I learned was if I have one day more than someone else, or I have 2 months more than a newcomer, I have something to give. I have something to share. And what do you know, when I share what I have, I feel fuller, I feel more whole, and I feel love, and I feel service. It's really amazing how helping others is the key to everything in this program. I have a sponsor who spends every morning with me for 15 to 20 minutes and talks to me about my stuff. And I, in turn, share that time with someone else, and we help each other. It's such a gift. There's nowhere else in my life that there's such such generous giving of time and love and just kindness and true, genuine concern for someone else's well-being. People we don't even know in the beginning. So it truly is a miracle. I'm so grateful for the people that have helped me. I ask my higher power that I be as helpful to others, because I know it it's everything in this program. I mean, even giving service during the meeting is such a gift. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Kelly. For the sake of time, will all HOW and OA sponsors please join me in the sharing only the following: one, how long in OA and HOW; two, how long abstinent in OA or HOW; and three, how much weight lost or gained. This is not a time for sharing for sponsors. Please keep it brief and no applauding between sponsors. If they wish to, sponsors can announce that they have an opening for a sponsee and provide their phone numbers. Sponsors are invited to share by starting your video and clicking the raise hand button on the participants panel, or pressing *N9 on your phone, or just start your video. When it is your turn to share, you will hear your name and your audio will be unmuted. Following your share, please turn off your video as the meeting moderator remutes your line. So let's start.
Mary, you want to go ahead?
Sure. This is Mary G. in St. Paul. My abstinence date is November 1st, 2012. I've lost and maintained 75 pounds.
Nancy D.
Thank you. This is Nancy D. I'm a compulsive overeater. I came into the rooms of Powell in September of 2017, and my back-to-back abstinence date is July 3rd of 2018, and I have been relieved of 109 pounds. I pass.
Johnny B. Hi, I'm Johnny. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I first came into OA How February 4th, 2018. My current abstinent date is May 15th, 2019, and during my time in How, I've lost about 60 pounds.
Ravi Tal.
Hi there. I'm a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater food addict. My name is Ravi Tal. I walked into the OA rooms in 2004. Was introduced to the two-hour OA How program in 2017, where I finally became abstinent in a stable manner and continue to remain stable to this day. And my body has released approximately 100 pounds, and just really grateful to be here. Thanks.
Ruth.
Hi, this is Ruth in Connecticut. I'm an OA How sponsor, and my back-to-back date is December 11th of 2008. I'm maintaining a 45-pound weight loss.
Kim H.
Hi, this is Kim H. from Austin, Texas. My recommitted abstinence date is June 1st of this year. I'm down 165 pounds for my top weight. Pass.
Betsy.
Did you say Betsy?
Yeah, go ahead, Betsy.
Oh, okay. Hi, this is Betsy H. I am a critical level compulsive overeater and a food restrictor. I started in the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous in 1975. I stuck around those rooms, did a half measured abstinence. I surrendered in OA How. My abstinence date is December 12th, 04, and I'm maintaining a 67-pound weight loss.
Candace.
Hi, I'm Candace G. I came to How in July of 2009. My abstinence date is December 1st, 2019. I'm down over 100 pounds.
Bryn.
I'm Bryn, recovering compulsive eater in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. My top weight was 554 pounds. I gave away 335 pounds of it. My most recent abstinence date is October 2007. At present, I'm maintaining my weight at a level that my physician wants me to weigh. Yes.
Kelly S.
Hi, everybody. I'm Kelly. I'm a compulsive overeater. My abstinence date is May 11th of this year, and I am down about 20 pounds, and I am a two-hour OA House sponsor. Thank you.
Heather.
Oh, I'm unmuted. Oh, great. Done for me. Hello, everybody. My name is Heather M. I'm in Texas. I'm a two-hour OA House sponsor. I came into How in August of 2019. My recommitted back-to-back abstinence date is May 14th of 2020. I'm on maintenance, down 35 pounds from my top weight, up 30 pounds from my low weight. Pass.
Erlinda.
Hi, everyone. It's Erlinda. I'm having a little bit of internet problems, but my back-to-back abstinence is February 11th, 2019, and I've been relieved of 63 pounds. I'm really grateful to be here. I don't have an opening as of now, but thank you for letting me be here.
Nancy R.
Hi, I'm Nancy R. I am a sponsor in the two-hour How format. I started in traditional OA in June 2017 and left after 6 months. Then I found OA How on May 2020 and I became abstinent. I've released 14 pounds. I am available for a newcomer. Thank you.
Debbie Z.
Hi, my name is Debbie. I am a compulsive overeater. I came to the rooms of How in October of 2006. My current abstinence date is October 12th, 2018, and I'm down 120 pounds, and I pass.
Jody M.
Hi, I'm a compulsive overeater. My name is Jody M. I first joined How in November 2009. My current back-to-back abstinence goes back to November 2019, and I've been relieved of approximately 100 pounds. Pass.
Tamara.
Hi, my name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater. I have been blessed with the gift of abstinence on April 3rd of 2017. I've been relieved of over 100 pounds, over 75 pounds in the HAL program. My recommitment date is December 1st of 2019, and I passed. Thank you.
Marlena W. Go ahead, Marlena.
I'm a sponsor in the 2-hour HAL program, and I am down 55 pounds from my top weight, and my recommitted abstinence date is April 22nd of this year.
Jane.
I'm Jane, compulsive overeater and two hour HAL sponsor. Came into regular OA sometime in 2009. And I came into the HAL program almost exactly a year ago. I'll be 1 year in 3 days, God willing. So see you next week. Thanks.
Howard.
Hi, I'm Howard, a compulsive overeater. I'm a sponsor on the late shift. I've been abstaining a little over 34 years, 19 years and 3 months of that in OA HAL. I've gained 10 pounds and a little bit of sanity.
All right, if there's anybody else who are missing, anybody on the phone, press star 6. Okay, I will go then. Hi, my name is Carrie. I'm a compulsive overeater from Minneapolis. I joined the program in September of last year, a couple days after Jane joined, actually. And I've been relieved of 35 pounds. And with that, I'll pass. If you want to go ahead.
Carl's Over Food. My name is Lewis from Maryland. And I came into the rooms of OA HAL in March of 2006. My back-to-back abstinence date is January 3rd of last year, and I've surrendered over 105 pounds by the grace of God in this program. Clay Feet.
Hey, Lewis, let's ask if there's anyone on the phone. I didn't unmute the meeting.
Okay.
Anyone on the phone that would like to be on the sponsor line? All right, I think we're done.
Thanks, Howard. Clay feet. We should remember that all OAs have clay feet. We should not set any member upon a pedestal and mark her or him out as a perfect OA. It is not fair to the person to be singled out in this fashion, and if the person is wise, she or he will not wish it. If the person we single out as an ideal OA has a fall, we're in danger of falling too. Without exception, we're all one bite away from a binge. No matter how long we've been in OA or HAL, nobody is entirely safe. OA itself should be our ideal, not any particular member of it. Anonymity.
Yes, that's me. Hello, my name is still Heather, and I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater and food addict, and this is the tool of anonymity.
Hey, Heather. Hi, Heather. Welcome.
Everybody. Anonymity is a tool as well as a tradition because it guarantees that we will place principles before personalities. It offers each of us freedom of expression and protection against gossip. Anonymity assures us that only we as individual OA members have the right to make our membership known within our community. Anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication means that we never allow our faces or last names to be used once we identify ourselves as OA members. Within the fellowship, anonymity means that whatever we share with another OA member will be held in respect and confidence. What we hear at meetings should remain there. It should be understood, however, that anonymity must not be used to limit our effectiveness within the fellowship. It is not a break of anonymity to give our names and addresses to the secretary of our group or to other service offices of OA for the purpose of conducting OA business, which is primarily 12-step work.
It is likewise not a break of anonymity to enlist 12-step help for group members in trouble, provided we are careful to omit specific personal information. If their disease has reactivated and we persist in protecting their anonymity, we may in effect help kill them and their anonymity. Anonymity is the part of the program that allows each of us to stand in front of our fellows and share for the first time, honestly, who we are, where we have been, and where we hope to go, without fear that our story will be told outside these rooms. For many of us, the OA rooms are the first place where we have no fear being judged or criticized. We are accepted as we are at that moment. This is the first time for most of us that we experience sharing where we are not told what we did wrong. We come into OA at rock bottom, mangled emotionally, physically, and spiritually. We are supported back to health with honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. We are encouraged to speak of our pain and are lovingly told, your secrets are safe. Come share our recovery, recovery on a threefold level, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Lastly, a word to newcomers, please join us. However, if you decide that our program is not for you, please remember that our anonymity allows us to grow and recover from a very serious disease. Whom you see here, what you hear here, when you leave here, let it stay here. I'm gonna set my timer because I can be long-winded. I've grown to love this tool. I didn't understand it at first, still learning it, but the word anonymity, the actual definition means without a name. And the reading here, it's very surface level of we don't say names, we don't do this, that, and the other. And it was also a shock when I came into program to learn how much of a gossip I really am or was. I didn't know how much I gossip, just as with learning the food scale, I didn't know how much of a liar I was either. Because I don't know one person that says, oh, I'm a gossip, or oh yeah, I lie. I don't know one single person that says that. So now I'm just terrified of, oh my God, how much do I lie and how much do I gossip about people? Because it was just, you don't even know the depths of your own heart really until, like my sponsor always says, more will be revealed. And when the student is ready, the teacher appears. But with anonymity, I didn't know how much of a gossip I was. So the surface level here is we don't say names. And that's pretty easy to follow, but the deeper meaning of it, anonymity is a tool as well as a tradition, and it's our spiritual foundation. What does that mean? Well, when you have a house, there's all this construction going on right across the street. I get to watch it. Those guys work so hard. Whole new respect for construction teams. But it takes a lot of time to build the foundation of the house. But the physical house, you can see the foundation. You can actually see the tools and the dirt being thrown everywhere and the concrete being laid. But we can't really see our spiritual tools, so it's kind of tricky. And anonymity, it goes deeper than just not saying someone's name or not saying someone's last name. So my main character defect, embarrassingly, is I want to be number one. And screw you and anyone and anything else who gets in my way. It's all about me being number one. And what's the opposite of being number one? Anonymity. So I've grown to, at first I hated this tool and now I love this tool because it's a good heart check of, I got really good at doing service, but the reason I did service was not for anonymity. It was to be number one. I will do this for you if you do this for me. But anonymity is, I'm going to do this for you because it's the right thing to do, whether or not you know it. And so it's been a painful heart check of why am I stacking these chairs? Why am I updating this document? I noticed something really funny before program. Whenever I would do something like update a document, I would email the whole team of the document has been updated. They don't need to know. They don't care. Like no one cares. So I could just update the document without telling everybody and just trust that God knows, my higher power, whom I choose to call God, he knows, I know. And that's enough. That is enough. It wasn't enough before, but it's becoming enough. So why are any of us doing the right thing? Do we want to be noticed? Do we want to be number one? Are we willing to be anonymous and serve? And I think my time's up. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Heather. Telephone calls.
Hi, this is Marlena and I'm a compulsive eater.
compulsive, and this is the tool of telephone.
Hi, Marlena.
Hi, Marlena. Welcome.
Is a disease of isolation. The telephone is a means of communicating with another compulsive overeater between meetings. It provides an immediate outlet for those hard to handle highs and lows we all experience. The telephone is also a daily link to our sponsors, and as part of the surrender process, is a tool by which we learn to ask for help, reach out, and extend that same help to others in how we are asked to make at least 4 telephone calls a day, 1 to our sponsor and 3 more to other OA members. These calls give us an opportunity to talk program on a daily basis. The telephone is our lifeline. So not only do we make our 3 hookup calls and call our sponsor and receive calls from sponsees once we're a sponsor, but a lot of our meetings used to be on the phone. In a little while, they're going to have to change this tool to be telephone and computer or something to include all the Zoom meetings that are starting to happen. But the telephone has been this technology that's given us a great tool and way to interact. And I know in my many, many years of regular OA, you know, I would make calls when I was doing well. And then as soon as I was having a hard time, I just disappeared. You know, I was gone. You know, the shame would be setting in, and because some of my trauma got connected with reaching out and things getting worse, I was more powerless over reaching out than I was over the food. And so how has been a blessing? I had already done enough emotional work that phone was no longer like a negative for me, but it wasn't a positive. And how made it a positive? And how is like, we need to make those calls. And I haven't always. There's been some times I've ended up, part of my breaking abstinence has been that same disappearing. But I'm more likely because it's required, and there are consequences like losing a good sponsor to make my calls. And then it starts to just make it happen where I'm used to reaching out, and there usually aren't bad consequences. I've had a few not off kind of phone calls with people and how, but for the most part, it's a real positive experience. So more and more of that sense of the positive experience of just doing these calls starts growing and building in me and giving me confidence that when things are really rough, I can call somebody. But if anything, I'm just calling people a lot because we need to make 3 calls a day. And so those hard things are getting addressed as they come before they get worse. So I hope I'm not getting blocked off. Something's coming through on my phone. So the telephone is really, really a blessing. And it sure is great on the Zoom meeting, at least to see faces where, you know, a lot of the other meetings, you have no idea what people look like. But it's great to have the phone for between meetings. Thank you.
Thank you, Marlena.
Thanks, Marlena.
Meetings.
There we go. Hi again. I can't see myself. Am I being seen okay?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Thank you for the feedback. Okay, once again, Ravi Tal, recovering compulsive overeater, food addict, sponsor, grateful. Meetings. Meetings are gatherings of 2 or more compulsive eaters who come together to share their experience before and after recovery and to share strength and hope to share the strength and hope OA has given them. Meetings are an opportunity for us to identify and confirm our common problem by relating to one another and by sharing the gifts we receive through this program. We find that being on time for meetings enhances our recovery and provides service to the meeting. Though there are many kinds of meetings, fellowship is the basis of them all. As HOW members, we attend at least 1 HOW meeting a week. My experience as a sponsor is I think meetings are valuable in so many ways. For me personally, having come in as a newcomer, a sponsee, I got to look around and hear, and I still remember my very first meeting out in Sarasota, and I thought, where have you people been all my life? Wow, I've done OA, but never like this. And today I look back at it and I think so much support, so many reinforcements, not just talk and then off on my own in isolation with a sponsor and the occasional calls. There are tons of supports and reinforcements here. And flipping over to the other side from another perspective as a sponsor, I find that the meetings themselves are a reinforcement for me. When I begin to work with someone, other than the written guidelines, I refer them to the meetings because I know that we have a consistent script. We have a consistent format. Whatever it is that that person may hear, there may be some unique nuances, whatever each person brings to the meeting. But generally speaking, I know that the meeting will help me to sponsor the sponsee if they just go and hear over and over again what it is that I would share with them in terms of how it works. So the meeting itself reinforces my sponsorship abilities. And for that, I'm grateful. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Revital.
Would
someone please share on literature and writing?
Hi, this is Kim. Can you hear me? That's me.
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you. Kim, compulsive overeater and food addict in Austin, Texas. Literature and writing.
Hi, Kim.
Hi, Kim. Welcome.
Literature. We studied the textbook Alcoholics Anonymous, referred to as the Big Book, and the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, another AA book to reinforce our program. By substituting the words food and compulsive eating for the words alcohol and alcoholism, we can identify closely. We also read OA literature, the OA book, Overeaters Anonymous, referred to as the Brown Book, the OA 12 Steps and 12 Traditions for today, for daily meditation, and Lifeline, our journal of recovery. Read on a daily basis, our literature impresses on us certain basic truths that we have found vital to our growth. Our literature and the AA books are an ever-available tool that gives insight into our problem, as well as the strength to deal with it and the very real hope that there is a solution for us. Writing. In addition to our writing, our inventories, and the list of people we have harmed, most of us found that writing has been an indispensable tool for working the steps. Further, putting our thoughts and feelings down on paper or describing a troubling incident helps us to better understand our actions and reactions in a way that is not often revealed to us by simply thinking or talking about them. In the past, compulsive eating was our most common reaction to life. When we put our difficulties down on paper, it becomes easier to see situations more clearly and perhaps better discern any necessary action. So I just wanted to share on literature and writing that, you know, the Big Book, Alcoholics Anonymous, I've been in HAL for 3 years, I think, maybe four, I can't remember the math. And then regular OA 5 years before that. And I remember my first sponsor, you know, telling me to get a Big Book and, you know, open it up. And I guess before that, I went to my first meeting, they were talking about the Big Book. So I bought one, I took it home, and I started reading it, and I was, what is this? It makes no sense to me. And then, you know, my first sponsor, she said, open up that Big Book, and everywhere it says alcohol, you cross it out and you write food. And everywhere it says drinking, you cross it out and you write eating. Or compulsively eating or restricting or whatever your compulsive food behavior of choice is, you know. She said, you go through that whole book and you cross it out and you make it tell your story. And that's what I did. And the, you know, the words really left off the page for me at that time. And so now, you know, the Big Book is really my, I love it. And it's how different it is now. As far as writing, writing's really important for me. I can really get in my head, and I can also replay scenarios over and over again. And writing is something that allows me to pause, put a pause on my brain chatter and get it out in black and white. When it's in black and white, it has less opportunity to ruminate because it is out there and I don't have to keep thinking about it anymore. Lots of things come up for me in writing that would never come out any other time. And also, I hate writing. I'll just share. I hate writing. And this is my least favorite tool of them all, but I do it and I get something out of it every day. And I'm grateful that we have to do it because and I'm grateful, very grateful that I have to have it ready to read to my sponsor, because if I didn't have that, if I didn't have, a deadline and someone who is anticipating having, wanting to hear what I what came up for me in my writing, it would be a lot easier for me to be lazy on that. And I just can't, I can't afford to be lazy in terms of my recovery. And that's why I'm here with y'all. Alrighty, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim.
Thanks, Kim.
Thanks, Kim.
Will all people doing service for OA at any level please stand and applaud service?
Woo, yay, service!
Yay, service! Woo. All right, glad you're here.
The Minnesota OA HAL live meeting is a friendly place, and we want to get to know each other. If you're attending for the first time, please turn on your video and unmute your line or press star and six on your phone's keypad and introduce yourself by first name only and where you are from. If you'd like to receive phone calls, please give us your phone number, time zone, and the best times to call. Any newcomers? Kim from Texas? Kim H? Okay, may we please have a treasurer's report? I'm also your group treasurer, and we've spent the last week trying to get access to the account, and Howard and I are working on it, and hopefully by this time next week, we'll have the issues resolved and I can present a formal treasurer's report. I want to thank the group for your patience with me in this process. Our seventh tradition helps this meeting provide the equipment, enhance our website, contribute to our service structure, refine the technology, develop other live OA face-to-face groups, and more. Please go to mnhowliv.org to donate. The promises. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are always being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. That's from the Big Book, pages 83 to 84. Are there any announcements?
I think I do actually have one announcement. Hi, everybody. I'm Revi Tal, recovering compulsive overeater and food addict.
Hi, Revi Tal.
Hi. In conversation with a couple of outreach calls, I have learned that the How Intergroup Virtual, How Virtual Intergroup, thank you. How Virtual Intergroup is has an opening for a chair. And what I didn't realize that I'm realizing now is it's kind of like chairing a meeting, a little bit different, but scripted, etc. If anyone is already a sponsor and interested in doing service at the How Intergroup level, Virtual Intergroup, it's one Sunday a month, and I can get you in touch with some more information if this is something that interests you. Thank you.
Thank you, Revi Tal. Any further announcements?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Carrie. I just want to let you know that we are actually looking for an intergroup rep from this group as well to be part of what Revital was talking about. So if anybody's interested, please respond to the email that is usually sent out on Sunday.
Thank you, Carrie. Marlena.
Yes, there's somebody who put it in the chat that she couldn't unmute and she's new. So I was thinking that beyond the chat, it would be great if we could let her introduce herself. Her name is Kim.
Thank you, Marlena.
Hello there. I was just wanting to introduce myself. It's my first time at this meeting. So I just want to say hello, Kim H. from Texas. And thank you for having me. That's all.
Welcome, Kim.
Welcome, Kim.
Hi, this is Emily from Oregon, and I'm new to this meeting and new to HOW, and my number is, am I on, can you hear me?
Yes, very clearly.
Okay. 971-506-5075 if anybody wants to call. So thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Emily.
Okay. Welcome, Emily.
Welcome.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Ann.
Okay, I'm new, and I just wanted to reach out because I need a sponsor, and I'll put my phone number in the chat. My name is Ann T. Thank you.
Thank you, Ann. Welcome.
Welcome, Ann.
Welcome.
Anyone else? Literature and books. Newcomer and sponsor materials are located at the virtual intergroups resource page at www.oahowphonemeetings.com. You can purchase OA books and pamphlets at bookstore.oa.org. It's now time for medallions. At OA How Meetings, we recognize the milestones of recovery for those who work in the How program. All other OA abstinence is given a round of applause. Anyone may request a medallion by turning on your camera and unmuting your phone. So how many people here are recognizing over 20 years of abstinence? 15 to 20 years. 10 to 14 years. 5 to 9 years. Oh, Bryn. Are you celebrating, Bryn? 5 to 9 years of continuous abstinence. 1 to 4 years. 6 months to 11 months. 1 month to 5 months. And for the most important and special chip medallion for them all, anyone who wants a new way of life, or it's the medallion of desire. Anyone interested in getting the medallion of desire? Bryn. Benita.
Hi, my name is Benita. I am not new to this meeting. I think this is my third time attending. I am in Texas. My number is 972-802-2827, and I would like to request a medallion of desire. Thank you.
Yay. Thank you, Benita. Yay. Glad you're here, Benita.
Congratulations. Thank you.
Can you do a huge favor, Benita, and put your address on the chat?
Okay, I will do it. Thank you.
Bryn?
Yes?
You have your hand up?
Yes, I had my hand up. Are you asking about a medallion?
Yeah.
Well, I suppose you can send one. I don't know how to give you my address, though.
Okay, what are you celebrating?
Well, let's see. I was absent since October 2007, which the anniversary will be up next month.
Great. Congratulations. Yeah. Thank you.
Yay. Congratulations.
Wow. Step-ups. At this point in our meeting, we ask the group to join us as we celebrate another example of the miracles that abound in OA. The stepping up portion of this meeting asks a sponsor to introduce a newcomer who has at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence, who has completed the first three steps of the program, and who is now ready to become a sponsor. At HOW meetings, new sponsors are presented with a cactus plant to signify the tough love of the program. Stick with the stickers. Remember to drink your water and reminder that we don't water down the program. Are there any step-ups? There are none tonight. So anniversaries. Birthdays are celebrated for each year of continuous abstinence. At anniversaries, a candle is lit at the beginning of the meeting. We invite the person who is celebrating an anniversary to turn on their video for the anniversary reading. Are there any anniversaries? And I don't think we do have them. Attendees may sign up to celebrate your step-ups or anniversaries via the link on our website. The leader now qualifies for 10 minutes. So Ruth, if you could ping me with 2 minutes and then 1 minute, that'd be a big help. Powerless over food, my name is Lewis from Maryland. And I'm very grateful to be here this evening. And what I'd like to share about tonight is how important the sixth step has been for me during this pandemic period. One of the things I've learned in OA HOW is two great central truths for in my life. One is that God wants me as I am, not who I think that I am. And that God wants me sane. And when I came into the pandemic, I was just finished a fourth and fifth step on my work issues. And what happened was at the beginning of the pandemic, I was unemployed. So I was sitting in the sixth step with all of my feelings, with my defects of character exposed, having to deal with a family where my wife does financial planning for her work, and my two kids are doing distance learning for the first time. So the challenge for me was, well, how do I do service with all of this intense discomfort that I was sitting through? And I worked the HOW program in a way I never have before. The telephone tool was invaluable to me during this period, because one of the challenges I've learned about service is that it's extremely important for me to have a stable, inclusive disposition that provides safety to the people around me to be who they want to be. And one of the challenges I had was that my wife was going through a lot of nervousness and a lot of discomfort because of the instability of the markets right at the beginning of the pandemic. My kids also were going through a lot of emotional turmoil during their beginning to learn distance learning. And so the last thing that my home life needed was someone eating. I needed to maintain my physical abstinence at all costs. But more important, as important, was maintaining my emotional and spiritual abstinence. So what I learned was that, and this is what the sixth step has taught me, is I can feel unstable, but not be unstable. And that I can lean into service and into God because both are stable. And so what I did was be calm and be a stable presence to my family. And I also acted in a way that contributed to what we're all going through, as opposed to taking away from what we were going through, which I used to do when I was actively eating. The other thing that happened during this period of time is I was really vulnerable. And I've learned a great deal about vulnerability during this time. And one of the great things that I've learned about vulnerability is that it, you know, I made a choice to accept, to let go. And at the beginning of the pandemic, and what happened was that these feelings came up and I made a choice to allow them to process the way that they needed to process, with the strength of the fellowship of OA HAL. And in so doing, I learned a great deal about patience. And I've learned that patience with myself is much, much harder than dealing with patience with others. So I had to be patient to allow the feelings to process for however long that they needed to process. The other thing that I learned in this during this period of time was vulnerability, was prudence, that I learned what right behavior was in performing service to my family. And then the third thing that I learned was humility, because I was powerless over what was going on. Not only was I powerless over my feelings, but I was also powerless over the circumstances of what my family was going through, and the uncertainty of this pandemic, and the fact that I was unemployed. And what ended up happening at the end of this process was that I gained character. I developed character through this effort. And one of the great blessings of character development is self-acceptance. So that gave me clarity and focus. And as a result, I was able to get a job, and I've been unemployed before during abstinence, but this time was the shortest period of time of unemployment that I've ever gone through, and I attribute that directly to the practicing the tools and steps of OA HAL. And so it's been a remarkable experience, because one of the things I've learned about the sixth step, being entirely ready to have God remove these defects of character, is that if I practice God's will and am willing to be vulnerable, then what happens is that my defects get removed. And as a result, when they crop up back again, they don't have the intensity or the sting that they had before. So I'm just so grateful for the tools and what you all have given, especially the tool of abstaining from negative thinking, which is part of the plan of eating. That has been an invaluable practice for me, because when I was going through what I was going through, I was able to be grateful and open because I was going through it abstinently. I was not eating and I was not acting out either. So although I was feeling tremendous discomfort, the truth was that I was set free. And I was free to be open to learn about self-care in that discomfort, and also to learn about how I can love, support, and serve my family in a far more effective way than I had before. So I'm very, very grateful for HAL. This pandemic has been an extraordinary experience for me and my family. I was talking to my sons the other day, and I asked them, well, how's this pandemic been for you? And they said it's been tough for them, but they did say one thing, which was, from a family perspective, we've gotten a lot closer. And that's pure gift of recovery, because I had the wherewithal and understanding because of working this program that this was going to be a special time together, that we'd be spending time together in a way we probably will never do again. So the challenge for me was, how can I be present for them? How can I love them? How can I support them during this time? And it's been remarkable. So I'm so grateful for this program, and so grateful for what you all have given me. It's a life beyond my wildest dreams. And And I'm so grateful that I have the steps and the tools of the program, because you're teaching me how to lead a life. I was surviving at best before. And now I have a life that is richer than anything I could ever imagine. And because of the tools and steps, I'm able to have a life and can act in a way without regret. So, and when I was eating, I lived in either the fear of impending doom or in regret because my behavior was so self-centered and deplorable. And so OA HAL gives me a life prosthetic where I learn how to lead life on life's terms and adjust to what is so that I can make a contribution and find God in a cup. So thank you all for letting me share.
Thanks, Lewis.
And thank you. I'd like to introduce Betsy, our guest who qualifies for 20 minutes.
Hello, everyone. This is Betsy H. Can you hear me, Lewis?
Very well.
Okay, great. I am a compulsive overeater and a food restrictor from Minnesota, and I'm so grateful to be here. And I especially want to welcome, my time. Why don't you give me a 10-minute and a 5-minute, and you can ping me, you know, just show it to me. Yep. I want to welcome all newcomers, even if you didn't raise your hand or welcome, let us welcome you, but Emily and Anne, and I know Kim, you're just new to this meeting, but just so welcome. So glad you're here. This program is life-changing. It has literally changed my life, and I hope something I have to say will prove witness to that. So I'm going to share a bit about where I came from and some other things. So things that I think really brought me to the rooms of HAL is one, I grew up in an alcoholic home. And I share that because growing up in an alcoholic home, things were not normal. I felt different. And food really helped kind of ease the pain of feeling different from that. I was, there was three girls in my family. I was the youngest, I was the baby. And some elder people might think I had it easy, but I don't think what I had was easy. I also have ADHD and learning disabilities, and people did everything for me. Some of it was that I'm the baby and they did it for me. And some of it was that they were too impatient to let me learn because it took me a little bit longer. And my mom was just, you know, the codependent in the family. And she was impatient, wanted things perfectly. So there was no room for a child to learn how to do things. My dad was the alcoholic. He was pretty much a really sick alcoholic, you know, inappropriate sexual behavior, gambling. He ran the gamut. There was a lot of compulsive overeating in my family and in my extended family. And there was a lot of codependency. So I don't believe I started out as a compulsive overeater, but I really had a predisposition to become one. I had an experience when I was 8 years old. I was molested by a group of boys, 8 of them, in a skating room warming house. I knew all of them, or I had seen them. They went to my grade school. 2 of them lived in my neighborhood, and I knew one of them very well. And it changed my life completely. And why I share that is because that was the night that I remember crossing over from being a grazer kind of to a compulsive overeater. I remember every minute of that experience. I remember coming home. I remember I stuffed myself silly. I just did. I did not want to ever feel that feeling of, I felt like I did something wrong that caused those boys to do that to me. So, and as the youngest in the family, what I learned is that something was wrong with me. I thought I was really stupid. And I thought that I learned to manipulate people with my ADHD. I learned that I was helpless. I learned others will take care of me and that I needed it. I thought I was really a poor baby. And I believed it for years. And I will tell you, growing up was never easy for me. School was very difficult. Even I am a recovering alcoholic myself. And when I went through treatment, they called me Queen Baby because I had been carried around on a golden pillow and I never really learned to walk. School was horrendous. So now I needed food even more after I was molested. I needed so much food because, you know, not everybody comes home and their dad is passed out on the floor, tying his boots to go hunting, or bill collectors are at the door. I didn't ever want anybody to know this about our family. I didn't like it when my friends came over and my dad was in there in his underwear. I just felt sick about it, so I ate, and food eased the pain. And of course, I found other eaters. So, and I thought I had done something really wrong to have that happen to me. I became, started to get kind of chubby. And then in sixth grade, I was put on Adderall or Ritalin, which, you know, was a magic drug for me. Didn't help me in school, but I got thin and I could eat whatever I wanted or not eat because I was learning to restrict. And then life just kept getting harder. I was very inappropriately sexual when I was young. I wanted to fit in, I wanted to be cool, and I did whatever it took to not be that insecure, low self-esteem gal that I really was inside. Because I was looking thin on the outside, but I was all messed up on the inside. After high school, I really didn't know how to take care of myself. And a few years after high school, I had really started to put on weight. The pills weren't working, nothing was working. And somebody brought me to my first OA meeting, traditional OA. And there I learned to do the gray sheet. And here's a couple, here's a picture of me. I don't know if you can see it. I was really skinny. I was smaller than a size 7. And I'm 5'6". It was not a good thing for me. And of course I loved it. I thought this is it. And here's a couple pictures. I don't have my pictures of me at my high weight, but a couple pictures of me moving towards that. I was about 195 pounds not when I entered HAL, but when I entered OA. And this is a picture of my family in recovery. Yay, God. So after high school, I went to OA and I did OA for about 28 years. And I never really left except for a short geographical cure to Montana and then back. So when I crawled into the rooms of HAL, I was pretty beaten and defeated. I was living in the rooms of OA. I was lying. I was stealing food from the co-op, you know, thinking it was just open cases for me to stick my hand in and graze. And I would lie, and I made people around here miserable. I was really emotionally sick. And now, not all my time in OA was like that. There was some good times. I could stay abstinent for a little bit, but I never fully surrendered in OA, never fully surrendered. I started over because I'd binge all the time. When push came to shove, I would pick up and binge my brains out. And I had so many medallions. And I will tell you, that's not an easy way to live, by slipping over and over and over again. And then I try to figure out, was it a slip? Was it not a slip? Did I really binge? What does that mean? Now I don't ever have to worry about that. Clean, serene. It's just really concrete. I had really met my match when I crawled into the rooms of HAL. I was going down, down, down. And I really felt like the last binge I had, I couldn't pull myself up one more time. And I was so embarrassed. A lot of my friends had come over to HAL and I thought, how do they do this? I hated HAL. I thought, these are crazy, crazy people. I did not like the woman who brought this program to Minnesota. I thought she was crazy, controlling. And yet every cell inside of me knew I was gonna end up there. What I never did in OA was I never surrendered. I always had my decision-making was bottom line. When push came to shove, I could always go and eat whatever I needed, whenever I wanted. And I could have long periods of dry, but I wasn't free, free of that insanity of the mind. I was very sick. So one of the things that I want to talk about is there's these 12 spiritual principles in AA, and my sponsor has me writing on them. And one of them is integrity. And it says the quality of being honest and having strong moral principle and moral uprightness. I will tell you, I did not have much of this prior to coming into HAO. I had values and I had morals, but I never lived up to them. Living in the disease is really hard to follow through with that. I had a fear ran me. It ran me ragged. And I reacted to everything, everybody around me. And one of the greatest ways that I reacted was by pulling away and isolating. I made many, many plans over the years with people, and I always thought it was my prerogative to cancel as needed, especially if I had binged and I did not feel good. I did not need to explain myself. I could just say the truth. I can't get together. And I remember one of my friends had come into HAO before I did, and she said, I really want to be your friend. But I'm so angry and frustrated and let down every time you cancel. I canceled work depending on how I felt. I canceled everything. It just depended on who I was. I was so self-centered. So I ran crazy. I valued integrity, as I said, of being a good mom. Oh, how I wanted to be a good mom. And I just couldn't be a good mom because I was so afraid that my daughter would get raped or assaulted. And I remember we adopted her from Korea. Before she had even arrived, I was so scared she'd be a heroin addict. You know, I mean, just these unbelievable, she's going to be an addict. And oh my God. And, you know, just projecting so far into the future. And, you know, I do chuckle about that today. But my disease made it really impossible to be the mom I wanted to be. I was not a good partner to my husband. I treated him very disrespectfully. I was very judgmental, very critical, very controlling because it was so much easier than taking care of myself. You know, I really, really wanted him to be different. And I really believed that if everything was different, then I would be better. But it, you know, I'd been trying for 28 years and nothing had changed. I had let down Josie and Tim many times, and it wasn't all black and white. I've looked back at videos. There were some very fun times, but always inside my head was this mental obsession. I'm not good enough. I'm one of those that constitutionally isn't capable of being abstinent. I was really sick in my mind. And as we know about this disease, it's progressive in nature. I just kept getting sicker. So in HAO, I started to feel I asked someone to be my sponsor, and I started to feel some integrity. The integrity of staying abstinent, of completely surrendering is unbelievable. And it's just unbelievable to have somebody hold your hand and walk with you. It's unbelievable. And then you get to start to learn to call on time and to be prepared. I mean, I never was. I thought, I'm a Sagittarius, I'm a free spirit, and I'm ADD. And I told my sponsor that, you know what she said? I don't care what you are. If you want what I have, you gotta do it what I do. I couldn't believe it, and I did. And I called her at 6:30 in the morning, and I'm not a morning gal. And I stayed abstinent. It was a miracle. And I began to trust her, and I began to trust the fellowship of this program. And then the integrity that comes when I started to learn that I had to tell the truth, because I lied so much. I was so afraid to tell you who I was for fear that you would reject me. I was afraid to tell my sponsor who I was, that I had fears of leaving HAO early on, because I think she'd think I wasn't working hard enough. And she said, quite the contrary, this is exactly what we talk about. Thank God I got that. because my thinking is what causes me the problems. So I began to listen to others and they would tell me the truth. Sometimes I didn't like hearing it and I had to not argue and defend myself. No justifications, no excuses when I couldn't do something. I had to start really being honest. No gossiping, we learn in how. Anonymity. It's like, what the hell am I going to talk about if I can't tell somebody else's story? Integrity with who I was. I'm a homemaker, but I didn't think feminist people would value that. So I kind of thought, I don't know what I thought, but I didn't take it very seriously. But I do today. And I have for years. I clean the house really good. I cook really good. I've learned to. And I value that. I create an environment where my husband can come home and doesn't have to worry about that. And there's something to that. He thanks me for that. And I thank him for what he does. I started to take care of my physical body. God, it's taken me so long. I'm really a person who wants people to take care of me. I'm an occupational therapist and a body worker, and I still didn't get it. I would go to everybody, like the chiropractor, to adjust me just perfectly so I'd have no pain in my body. I'd go to the PT. They'd give me exercises. Did I follow through? No, because I didn't want to follow through. It didn't work for me. I'd do it for 2 weeks and I was done. But guess what? I've been doing it for almost 2 years now. I am starting to live the life I used to live. It's not perfect. I'm almost 65, for God's sakes. I had some aches and pains in my body, but pain is not running. Thanks, Ruth. Pain is not driving the show. I can climb. I went to Banff and hiked for 2 weeks with my husband. It was a dream trip. And I had to prepare for it. And I have to stretch out when I'm done. God forbid I should have to take part in this. My work was causing me pain, and yet I didn't want to stop doing deep tissue body work because I thought nobody would want what I had. It's like, where's the integrity in that? So I want you to know, we don't get well overnight in these rooms, but if you stick around, unbelievable things happen. Unbelievable things happen. I can't believe that I can finally do my job without hurting myself. And it took me a long time to get there. I don't recommend that, but you know, I was a work in progress, but there's some things just like abstinence that I have to completely surrender. I cannot do deep tissue. It hurts me. And I'm tired of hurting. Okay. So, and at one point when I had chronic pain, I thought, well, it'd just be easier to just end up in an electric wheelchair. And then I can have excuses for having to quit my job and all this stuff. And I remember my financial person saying, you know, if you do that, your husband's going to be furious with you. Taking the easy way out will not make you happy. Oh, I wanted to kill her for saying that. My sponsor supported that. I can't believe I have people that tell me the truth. So things have changed. I have changed. My life has changed. I have a critical illness that needs to be dealt with, and it continues to grow even though I'm sober. It's amazing what gifts you can get. I never imagined this. And I think with right now, with the way the world is, there's a lot of fear in the world, but I have a higher power that I can go to, and that is the only source of freedom I've ever had. I have a whole wealth of wisdom in this fellowship that I can go to. You know, one of the things that really brought me into this program is I wanted to be a better wife and I wanted to be a better mom. I wanted to not parent my daughter out of fear for the rest of her life. She was 5 years old. And as I look back and think about it, the other night she came over for dinner and she began by telling my husband what she's learned from him and how when he lost his business due to there was a period where it crashed and he couldn't do it. And she said, what I watched you do, Dad, every day was you kept looking for jobs. And he was older and he applied for a million of them. And then he finally got one. And she said, what you never did was you never quit. And what I see with you, Mom, thanks, Ruth, is I see how you, but she said to him too, she said, what you've done is look at where you've come from in the past 10 years. Look at how you provide for our family, for Mom and I. And Mom, you came from some hard things in life and you got sober and you got abstinent and you don't quit. You keep coming. Even in OA, I kept coming. I never quit. I just keep coming and I follow rules now. That's what I do. I've learned to listen, to be of service. I'm not the center of the world, that I can follow direction, even the PT's direction. I follow my sponsors, even though sometimes I don't like what she has to say. I trust God with every cell of my being just for today. And I'm trusting my other people that I love more than anything with their higher power as well. It's progress, 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 not perfection. I've learned to not fear money, but to pay it forward. I've learned to, somebody just shared with me, a dear friend, that my higher power is not thrown off by anything that's going on in this world right now. I feel I finally have morals and values, and I honestly feel I am a woman of integrity because of this program and nothing else. This program has given me that. I am an honest woman. I work a program in progress. There's many teachers in these rooms, in these howl rooms, and such wisdom. So if you're new, if you're struggling, if you're old and been around for a long time, just keep digging in deep, grab onto our hands, and let's reach out together and walk together one day at a time, because it works if you work it. That's it. Thanks, Lush.
Thank you so much, Betsy.
Thanks, Betsy.
Thanks, Betsy.
The floor is open now for 3-minute pitches or sharing. In HOW meetings, we share our experience, strength, and hope. No one is prohibited from sharing, but we ask that you focus on the solution. All pitches should be of a positive nature in which you share your growth and recovery. All other issues can be worked out over the phone or after the meeting. Would someone care to pitch?
I would. Yeah. I was very impressed with your story. I mean, you went through a lifetime of abuse. Of course, I went through something like that too. I was raised by a single mom who was into barbiturates a lot and tranquilizers. So there was no alcohol abuse, but I went through a lot of abuse. I was grossly obese. In my adult years, I got as high as 554 pounds. And so I can see where you're coming from. I don't have much to say, but I'm just glad to heard your story. Oh, by the way, if you don't mind me saying, you don't look like a 65-year-old woman. You look more like a 35. So flattery will get you everything. But thank you. It's passed.
Thank you, Bryn. Anyone else like to pitch? About 7 minutes.
Hey, it's Revitel. I just want to say hi, and hi, everybody. I just want to say thank you all for being here tonight, for sharing your experience, strength, and hope, for offering up service. I was talking about support and reinforcements, and there were certain parts of the story that I heard tonight that I could really relate to, and other parts that I was enlightened with. And for me, it's, you know, our lives are unique and different, but the how this disease affects our lives is almost prototypical. And we kind of push aside the individual unique details of our lives. We can see that the patterns are so common. And I'm just really glad in the noise of it all, in the uniqueness of it all. And we all have different lives, but we gather here to recognize, oh my gosh, in a way, if I pay attention, I'm just like you and you're just like me. And we come from all walks of lives, all socioeconomic statuses, all cultures, backgrounds, yet we're human. We're humans who are disconnected from the sunlight of the spirit. And I keep using my hands to express, if I'm all in here, I'm in trouble. And if I'm connected and I listen to you and I learn here to listen to those who have advice to give me out there, I carry the message in all my affairs, or at least I try to, far from perfect at it. Here I learn how to live life. And here I get the feedback, the experience that I'm having is maybe not so unique after all. It's just de-isolated here. So I just want to say, I look at all of you and I think to myself, I'm with my tribe. I'm with my peeps. I barely know some of you, but I know that when we come together in unity like this, I feel human. I feel perfectly imperfect. I can be very uneasy if I were to be isolated from all this. So thank you all for being here tonight. And it's supporting my recovery. I hope in the same way that interdependently my being here supports yours too. Thanks.
Thank you, Revital.
Thank you, Revital.
Anybody else like to share? We got about 5 minutes.
Can you hear me, Lewis?
I certainly can.
Okay, hi, this is Maggie. I'm a compulsive eater in Toronto. Sorry, I know the lighting behind me is crap. I haven't had time to get my movie lighting on. Hi. So I just want to echo what's been said about how awesome it is to have this fellowship in the middle of this dreadful pandemic. I, just for the record, I'm hating this new way of life. I'm doing a lot of step work, whatever, but I'm not even going to pretend I don't hate it. Everything that used to make the fabric of my life, work, meetings, going to the gym, seeing friends casually, running into people on the street, it's all changed. And I'm not into it. I hate it. But what this program has given me, and I've screwed up this program quite a bit. So I came in and I've had slips and whatever, but I don't care because I'm not going anywhere because I've tried all the other food fellowships and they didn't work. And this is the only one that's offered me any relief. So what this offers me is like a whole group of awesome people that are doing it with me. I weigh and measure my food. That gives some structure to these crazy days. My calls cut down on isolation and shame. They connect me with other human beings. My food plan is awesome. It ensures that I'm never like starving or crazed. So I'm really glad to be doing it with you guys. And yeah, thank God for this program in this challenging time. And thanks everyone for your service.
Thank you, Maggie.
Thanks, Maggie.
Thanks, Maggie.
We have time for, I think, one more pitch, 3-minute pitch. Anybody want to pitch? Okay. I want to thank you for allowing me to be your leader for this meeting today. I want to thank all those who participated, especially our speaker, Betsy, who offered so much of herself. May we have the reading of Just For Today.
Good evening, everyone. This is Maureen, Compulsive Overeater.
Hi, Maureen.
Hey, Maureen, welcome.
Thank you. Just for today. Just for today, I will try to live through this day only and not tackle my whole life problem at once. I will do something for one day that would appall me if I felt I had to keep it up for a lifetime. Just for today, I will be happy. This assumes to be true what Abraham Lincoln said, that most folks are as happy as they make up their minds to be. Just for today, I will adjust myself to what is and not try to adjust everything to my own desires. I will take my luck as it comes and fit myself to it. Just for today, I will try to strengthen my mind. I will study. I will learn something useful. I will not be a mental loafer. I will read something that requires effort, thought, and concentration. Just for today, I will exercise my soul in three ways. I will do somebody a good turn and not get found out. If anyone knows of it, it will not count. I will do at least two things I don't want to do, just for exercise. I will not show anyone that my feelings are hurt. They may be hurt, but today I will not show it. Just for today, I will be agreeable. I will look as well as I can, dress becomingly, talk low, act courteously, criticize not one bit, not find fault with anything, and not try to improve or regulate anybody except myself. Just for today, I will have a program. I may not follow it exactly, but I will have it. I will save myself from two pests, hurry and indecision. Just for today, I will have a quiet half hour all by myself and relax. During this half hour, sometime, I will try to get a better perspective of my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. Especially, I will not be afraid to enjoy what is beautiful and to believe that as I give to the world, so the world will give to me. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Maureen.
Thanks, Maureen.
To those who are still new to the program, we remind you that all that was said here today should safely remain here as we respect and cherish our tradition of anonymity. We also assure you that following the program will get your weight off or on. Abstinence will remove the cravings. Our way of life will remove compulsion and time and give you contentment in all areas of life. After a moment of meditation, will those who wish to please join in to say the Serenity Prayer. Those attending virtually, please unmute yourselves. Let us pray for those who are still suffering. God,
accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
I will,
Thank you, Betsy, Lewis, and everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Have a good week.
You too, Howard.
Take care.
Thanks, Howard.
Thanks, Betsy.
It was great. This was really great. You've done good, Mr. Howard. Hi, Jody. There you are. What a meeting. Wonderful. Really awesome. Huh?
Well done. It's very good to see you.
You too, dear. It's been a long time.
I haven't heard before, Betsy. That was beautiful.
You know what? That's what many people have told me. I've gotten that response from two people who know me very well at another meeting, and they said, I've never heard that before. And I thought, huh. And then somebody messaged me today and said the same thing, and now you're saying it. So I don't get it, but who knows? We'll just keep coming back.
Well, that's right. It's good to hear.
All
right,
yeah,
pretty good.
Yeah. You too. Thanks, Howard. Thanks for coaching me in how to do this. It was crazy, but it really made it better.
Yeah, good, good. You look great.
Thanks.
Sounded great. Yeah.
It was
great
good.
Story. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, my dear.
Yeah, okay. Good to see you again.
You too, Howard. Take care.
Hang in there.
Bye-bye.
I know.